Okay, we're going to say yes. We're Lamzayim Gimel. All right, so we're on eight lines down. Okay, first word line is Tana Tam. Everybody have it on Lamzayim Amud Aleph. Eight lines down is near the asterisk. First word is Tana Tam. So Tana Tam, we learn the Mishnah Sefiyah. Goes in principle El Ol Karka. You know, in principle, if the debtor has some karka, he says, you ain't low, if the debtor doesn't have any karka, mizakehu betosa, they will show. The lender, primizakeh, the debtor. Now, the reason you have to have karka, we'll read the Rashi shortly, Rashi says that most loans were associated with the debtor having karka. It was usually, that would be the typical situation. Maybe it's because the lender wants to be able to short to get his money back. Usually the lender, the borrower would have karka. So the kind of prosbol was only designed for a case when the loba has karka. Then the Gemara says, if the loba does not have karka, all is not lost because the lender, the mizakin, was the karka. It's a tricky issue because mizakin means he's not here. I'm a zakim with him to get it. Zakim liyadam shlomo fanav, but it's only a zechus for him. Here, the bigger picture is it's going to be a negative for him because he is the debtor who would rather have the debt released. So as a result of getting the karka, it did not help him so much. So if the debtor says, I don't want it, then obviously we can't do it. But it's saying that the picture of what's a zechus and what's not, we look not so much in this context, but in general. So if he doesn't have karka for mizaki for him, let's go back in the Gemara. He says, so mizaki toshu, so they have koshu. So mizaki, any small amount, the kama koshu has, how much is the koshu? Avrib kibra shim ra'av, avrib kibra shim ra'av, even enough land for a stalk of cabbage, means like a postage stamp size of land would be adequate. So Amar Rav Yehuda, if it be a shiva, my kumitan or tirayim, come from a prosbol. So Rav Yehuda says that even if the lender loaned out to the debtor land just so that the debtor can put his oven there, or like the types of ovens, the tanor and the kirayim. Tanor is like the trapezoid type of situation, and the kirayim is a box with the two pots. So even if he had permitted him to use his land for the oven, that's adequate for principal purposes. So the Gemara says, Enes is true. Hillel taught. Now, the Hillel here is not the famous Hillel. It's not the famous Tana Hillel. It's an Amora Hillel. Hillel taught about the Raisa in Kofi Prisbol. Hillel sees the Kofi. We only write a Prisbol if the debtor has land, fine, then we write the principal. If the debtor doesn't have land, and he's got a tzitz and a kuv, there's a perforated pot. So the dirt in the perforated pot is viewed as mechuber l'karka. So we would write a principal if the debtor has a perforated pot, because then he has some land. So one thing, not his, says that could in, the implication being, if it's a perforated pot, it works, can not come low. If it's not perforated, it doesn't work. So even if it's not the Huber Lakarka, but he has the land where the pot is being kept. So somebody gave him permission to keep the pot there on that parcel of land. So according to what we said before, if you have use of the land, that's adequate. So lo, so the Manach HaSikai. So the order says no. Bryce is talking about a case where the pot is resting on like these little poles, these little stakes. So that doesn't count. So they ask, isn't that also usage of land? But it's like a kol shu, where it's very thin, like pencil-like poles. That's not considered usage of land. So therefore, you need a perforated pot. Rav Ashi Makhle, Gimba the Dikla, Rav Ashi would be Makhle, means like the stump of a date palm tree. In other words, a date palm tree was chopped down, and he had the stump. The stump is still on the ground. So he would give the stump work to the debtor. It says, Tatale Prisbol. Rabbanan de Ravashi, or at least we're going to listen to the Rashi on this, and then we'll pause. So look at the Rashi around the 10th hour line. Delala Karka, Mishkar, everybody have a 10th hour line in Rashi. Mishkar Kamalova means if the Lova has Karka, then we write a prose bowl. He doesn't have Karka, we don't write a prose bowl. They're only talking this when it fits into the general category. Most Staro are collectible from Karka. In other words, it was very rare somebody would lend money and the debtor didn't have land. So they were only talking in principle for a typical situation, not the atypical situation. Even though the amount of land, let's say the loan is $10,000 and the land that the debtor has is 5 feet by 5 feet. So it's not adequate for the entire debt. Now, right? It says, so remember we learned earlier in the Gemara Subas that even if the debtor has a small amount of land, but theoretically the lender could seize that land and then the debtor would pay him for the land and then he would seize land again. So even a small amount of land is enough to secure the loan. So that's the way that the Gemara figures. So it's important. It's halacha l'maaseh today as well. Today we have principle as well. It's important that the borrower, in other words, let's say you have things you've loaned out. So typically people do have land. They either own the property or the leasing property. But if we have sewer, it would not be a situation like that. So it's important to be machdeh, the debtor, in karka. Otherwise, principle doesn't in any way help. In other words, whenever you're writing the principle, so is machloket, you show him.
Not when you give him.
No. So, the principle you can do at any point.
Right.
I shouldn't say that. The principle is after the debt comes due, after the debt is already payable. Right. That's when it's just. If the person has, he's not able to, if he owns it. No. Well, now you know it. Now you studied Gemara. Now you know. All right. Well, not mentioning it now. Now the other thing is, So the principle. So there's some rishonim say you should do the principle even before the Shemitah year, but the mainstream thinking it certainly you have to do it before the end of the Shemitah year. In other words, according to most rishonim, the debt is released at the end of the Shemitah year. So Tavshin Pei Beis was the Shemitah year. Right. Tavshin Pei Beis. So before Rosh Hashanah, Tavshin Pei Gimel. So then you had the principle. So according to some Rishonim, that there's still a lot of low egos. In other words, the debt is not released, but I'm subject to prohibition against pressing the debtor to pay back the debt. So Lord Sami showed him that law kicks in at the beginning of the Shemitah year. So that's why a reason you might want to do Prisma before the Shemitah year. You understand? In other words, with the debt, so there's a law of low yikos. I can't press you to pay me the money. And there's also a mitzvah that it's shamot, it's released. So even though we showed him hold the debt is released at the end of the year, let's say right before Rosh Hashanah Tavshin Pei Gimel, but beginning with Rosh Hashanah Tavshin Pei Beis, there's already the prohibition of lo yigos. I can't press the debtor and pay me the money. So I want to get out of that. So that would be a reason to the principal before the year before. You got it? Okay, that's the basic idea.
Can I ask a question, please?
Yeah, I was going to say who's got questions, comments, thoughts, but you go first.
Thank you. If you have a debt and it's before the principal would go into effect and you start litigating about that debt, so it's now the subject of a lawsuit, does the principal affect that or have you reserved your rights by litigating?
No, you haven't, halakhically, you haven't done anything by litigating. that just means all you're saying is that the debt is subject to collection, so you need the principal. But even litigation, if the defendant is the Jew, that's halachically problematic because you should go to a Beis Din. You understand?
Let's say you went to a Beis Din. I'm not saying you went to an American
court. So even if you're in Beis Din, you still need the principal.
So does the principal, what is the significance of the date that the loan is due?
In other words, if the debt is due before the Shemitah year, when the Shemitah year comes, the debt gets released.
And if it's due afterwards, it doesn't get released.
Right. Okay. In other words, let's say we'll do year 1 to 7, 7 being the Shemitah year.
Right.
Let's say in year 2, I loan somebody $5,000, and the debt's supposed to be paid back to me in year 5. So. And then in year 6 it's also due. But if I don't execute the principal for the beginning of year, or before, what we're saying, the end of year 7, preferably I should execute principal before the beginning of the 7th year, so the debt is not released. And in other words, the debt would be released at the end of the 7th year, but at the beginning of the 7th year, so somebody showed and behold that the law of low egos could click in. So I want to protect my rights. I would execute the principal. You understand?
So are there parties to a principal, or is it just a document?
All right. I'm going to wrap this up in 60 seconds, and I have to go on. I apologize, Fern. So when you do the principal, you don't need the logo there. You come present it to a Beis Din, and the members of the Beis Din sign the principal.
Got it.
Do you understand?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Okay, a quick question, then we gotta go. Okay. I understand. So what about it? If he owns a house, that's it. No. It's saying, the Gemara is saying he needs to own property. But even if he owns nothing, but he's got a little piece of it. Well, all of his properties, whatever properties he's got. Okay, let's keep moving. You have to move on. This is going to be a long day. We're running behind schedule. I apologize. Okay. Okay, we're up to Rabbanan de Beis Rabashi, around 20 lines down on the Yamah. Rabbanan de Beis Rabashi, Chachamim from the Beis Metro Rabashi. They would do like an oral principle. In other words, they would get like the chaverim together. Let's say if I was learning the Beis Medrash Rabashi, I'd get one chaverim together, and I wouldn't execute a document. I would just say, I give over to you all of my debts for collection. You're the best, and I give over all my debts to the collection. Yonatan Masvan Eli with Rav Chiya Bar Abba. Yonatan did that with Rav Chiya Bar Abba. He said to him, do I need to do anything else? He says, no, you're fine. Okay. Now, Tanar Banan, Elo Karka, let's say you have Reuven is the Malva, Shimon is the Lova. Shimon has no Karka, zero. But there was a guarantor on the debt. Levi was the guarantor. Levi has Karka. So the Gemara says, we can write a principle. There's this karka in this situation. Let's say Lova does not have karka, and the Arib has no karka. The Sayyab Lova has no karka. But I've got the names ready. So Shimon was the debtor. Let's say Zvulun owes money to Shimon. Another party. Zvulun owes money to Shimon. And Zvulun has property. So we correct the principal based on Rabbi Nathan's halacha. Tanya, Rabbi Nathan Omer, how do we know if Reuven is claiming money from Shimon, and Shimon is claiming money from Levi? How do we know we can afford profits and take money from Levi and give it straight to Reuven? In other words, Reuven claims a money from Shimon. Shimon claims a money from Levi. So A claims from B, B claims from C. How do I know that I can take a mana from C and give it directly to A? So you tell a lot more of it. I'll tell you Shir Shamba. This pasuk is talking about a person who stole money and then lied about it. And then he has to pay a Karen Bechomish on the Shir Shamlo. So Shuto Shalikra means you give the money to the one that he was guilty. In other words, the one that he lied about. But La Shir Shamlo, the Sham can also mean to the one who the principal, the Sham can also mean the principal amount, to whom the principal amount is due. So he has the drasha, and it goes ultimately La Shir Shamlo, to the one who ultimately is entitled to that principal amount. Okay. All right, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did so far? Everybody good? Let's move on. Now, Tanana Tam, we learned the Mishnah, Masechet Shvuah, Hashvi'at Mishmetet B'Milba, Bein Mishtar, Bein Shlo Mishtar. So Shemitah releases the debts, whether the debt is with the star, with the document, or not the star. That's the end of the Mishnah. Rav Shmuel Tami Tarvayim, Rav Shmuel will say, Bishtar, when the Mishnah says Bishtar, it means Star Sheish Bechrayim. When the Talmud Mishnah says Bishtar, it means a star that says, I'm entitled to collect from your real property. That's what a star means. It says, Shlo Bishtar, She'in Bechrayim. Shlo Bishtar means it was written with a star, but it didn't have a clause that I can collect from your real property. So, the Shviat releases both of those debts, and certainly in our old law. So Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon Lakish, they explain the mission as well. Rabbi Shmuel and Babel, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lakish, and Israel, they explain the mission differently. The star means a document that doesn't contain the clause that I can collect from your real property. Shlo b'shtar, but the Mishnah says that there was no b'shtar, it's mul ba'al peh, it's an oral law. Of all star b'shtar, the chasim, but a star that has a price, the chasim, according to Yochanan and Shlokish, if the IOU note contains a clause that I can collect from your real property, it says, ain't it coming, that debt is not released. Okay, everybody got it so far? So, Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish, teaching me a chiddush. According to Yochanan and Shlokish, if I loan money and the document says I'm entitled to collect the money from your real property, then Shemitah has no impact on the document. You got that? Okay, let's see further. So the Gemara says, the learned Brisa that supports Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So they said that an IOU note is released. But if it has nachrayat in it, as a clause that I can collect from the property, then it's not released. So that it's on all fours. So we have one shot in the Mishnah, and then we have a brice that supports Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish's interpretation of the Mishnah. Then we have another brice that also supports them. If the Lova delineated a parcel of land when he loaned the property to be collected, if he defaults, ain't the Shami. That debt is not released in the Shemitah. Even if he just wrote in the debt that all of my property is subject to collection from you, it's not released in the Shemitah year. Now the idea would be that since the Malva can real property is not going anywhere. Real property is staying put. So if the idea is Shemitah releases those debts that I have not yet collected. But if I've already collected it, it's not leased. So the idea is if I have real property, I have the clause on the real property, I have an absolute right to seize that real property, and the real property is right there. Is not released in the Shemitah year. That's the idea. Okay. Now, the Gemara says, "Kriyei to Rabbi Yasi." Rabbi Yasi's relative, Havalei Aruch Star Adap Kibeh Lechasim. It had a star, and in the star, it had a clause that he's entitled to collect from the real property of the debtor. Avtam is Rabbi Yossi. He comes before his cousin, whatever, his relative, Rabbi Yossi. Amar Lai Mishami, you know, in Mishami, he says to him, is his debt released or not released? Amar Lai, you know, Mishami, there's nothing to worry about. It's not released. Shafkei Avtam is Rabbi Yochanan. So he leaves his cousin or his relative, and he goes to Rabbi Yochanan. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan said before, if it has a Christ, the chasim, it's not released. I mean, it's not released. So Amar Lai, Rabbi Yochanan said, it is released. Rabbi Yochanan says, released. So after Rabbi Asi, the coming of Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Asi came before Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Lai, Mishami, is the debt like it's released or not released? Amar Lai, Mishami, it is released, he said. Says Va'amaru to Amar Lai, Mishami, when you said that is not released, how can we tell you now? It is released. Amar Lai, Ryokan says, even though theoretically we're positing a certain pshat, doesn't mean we should follow that pshat. See Rashi. Medamin, you have the Rashi, it's around the lines above word bottom. Medamin, near Rabbeinu, Lundumanu came, even though it seems to us that this is the pshat, Mishnah, says, below Shamanu me Rabbeinu, we haven't heard directly from our Rabbeim, Nasi Masa, Lotzi Munu Bevayim. Would we act on it? There's more to speak about this. One second. So he says, so the back of the Gemara says, so he says, so Amar Lai taught me about the Gemara, but he said, there are two prices that support your pshat, right? It was not just Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish said that. He had two prices that supported them. So Amar Lai, Dilmahi Beit Shammai, maybe those prices are following Beit Shammai. We don't follow Beit Shammai. So, the Amri Shtar only the Dabu Kitabu Dabu. Beit Shammai holds that a star that's poised to be collected, we view it as being collected. This is the Gemara in the Sechet Sota. It means if a man, he suspects his wife of infidelity. He brings her to Yerushalayim to drink the water. And then before she can drink the water, he dies. So now the question is, can she collect the Ksuba? So there's a topic here. On the one hand, it's a topic whether she's Mizana or not. If she's Mizana, she's not Tana Ksuba. If she's not Mizana, she isn't Tana Ksuba. So who do we view as Muchzak in the property? So Beit Shammai says, we're going to leave everything where it is. We're going to leave everything where it is because we have a topic. So but where is leaving everything where it is? So Beit Shammai says, we view the woman as already being in possession for Ksuba. Everything which stands to be collected, we do is being collected. We had this idea before. We just had just the other day. It's a similar idea. So the Gemara says, so he says, it's true, there's a brayso that says that if you have a shtar and it has a Christ nechasim in it, that to me doesn't release it, but that could just be according to Beit Shammai. Maybe, but Beis Hillel is Mechulin Beis Shammai. So maybe not. So I don't think we should do this. I mentioned a story once. This was, I heard this on a recording, but it was from the Baruch Beis Mendelssohn. Can you move 1 inch close to the door? I want to see Michael. He says, yeah, can you move close to the cell? Okay, thank you. I'd like to see his expressions. Okay, there. So he was talking about Rav Aharon. He was Mishpacha with Rav Aharon Soloveitchik. So, it's a whole question about getting on an elevator on Shabbos, even in other words, even if it's a Shabbos elevator. But the question is, when I get on the elevator, am I causing the motors to work harder than they would otherwise? So this elevator that Aaron and Paskin could be used on Shabbos. So then there was a point where Rav Aaron went away to a conference on a Shabbos in a hotel. And he had already suffered a stroke. In 1986, Rav Aharon Soloveitchik suffered a terrible stroke, and he would walk around. He would walk around, and he'd be in like tremendous pain. So he was walking, climbing the steps with tremendous difficulty on Shabbos. He says, Rabbi, why don't you use this elevator? This elevator fits the way you would possibly use the Shabbos. He said, not everything that's permissible should be done. In other words, even if I'm really, it doesn't mean that anyway, similar idea to this, well, not exactly the same, but a similar idea. All right. Let me do a few more lines and we'll pause. Let me just six more lines and we'll pause. Now, Tanakh Tam, we learned the mission of the second Shviyah. Let's say I lend you money and you give me your Rolex watch. I lend you $5,000. You give me your Rolex watch. Or in the alternative, I give her my shtara to Bezin. We didn't speak about this in the Chote, Rashi and Tosfos, where the principle is the same as Moser shtara to Bezin. But Moser shtara to Bezin and Mishnamte, those two debts are not released in the Shemitah year. So when I give the shtar to the Bezdin, and the Bezdin is undertaking the collection, so they're exempt from the din of Shemitah. Why is that exempt from the din of Shemitah? So I'm a Rav of the toughest light, because in other words, it's the same as what we said before. Remember, if it's chaser guvina, if I have not yet collected on the debt, then Shemitah releases it. If I've already collected, then there's nothing to worry about. So if this is the mashkon, and I got the mashkon, it's as good as collected. So the Gemara says, so Shemitah does not impact the loan. So the Gemara says, so Amalei Abaye, the Yanta, Ilvahu, the Gemara says, the tax lay, Hafibami Lomashami. So Vite says, let's say Reuven lends $10,000 to Shimon, and Reuven is given space in Shimon's courtyard. Reuven is occupying space, you know, maybe a room in Shimon's courtyard. But that will also not be released. He's also the Gemara figure. He's toe-faced like Mashkon. So I'm going to lay, Mashkon, the kind of way to the Mitzvah. So he's going to say, it's the difference between Metatlin and Karka. So by Metatlin, you're Kona. Karka, you're not Kona. Means, in this case, he says, the Amar Yitzchak, united the Baal Chov, Shkona Mashkon. Here, Baal Chov is used in the sense of creditor. We've discussed already, Baal Chov can be creditor or debtor. You have to judge by the situation. So here, it's the creditor. How do I know the creditor acquires title to the Mashkon? Mashkon is the security. Shnemar Lchati Yitzchak. So it says, and if you get, like, if the Mashkon are in the night clothes, you should return it to the debtor. Shachab is Salman Tavi Rechaker. He'll go to sleep in his clothes and he'll give you a bracha. Show me machshavas as an act of kindness that you did to this debtor. So he says, in Kona Tzedakah, if he's not acquiring it, it's the act of Tzedakah. He's giving the fellow that which he owns. So it means that a Baal Chov, a creditor, acquires a right in the Mashkon. That's only Metatlin, not Karka. All right, we can pause for 30 seconds for questions. Any questions, comes to forth. So debts are released in the Shemitah. The debts are not released in the open. The car goes to the right.
So what happens if you can't get Prozbol?
No, again, Prozbol, Shemitah, the sabbatical year, releases the debts.
Take yourself
and your bill
not to come back to the
land. Oh, no. Oh, that's totally unnecessarily unrelated. It's different than. Okay. Let's see back in the morning.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see back.
Yeah.
All right. So we're on the bottom line. I'm not inside of it. Everybody listening? It's not a time. We learned Mishnah. Turn page. This is the Mishnah of the Sefer Shviyah. Hamach Sirchov Mokabir B'Shviyah. Let's say a debt was released. Reuven lent Shimon $10,000. And then the Shemitah year came and the debt is released. And now Shimon is being a nice mensch. He's coming to Reuven with the $10,000. Now, if you look in Rashi, Hamach Sirchokar B'Shviyat, Bizman Shashvinu Heged B'Avralav Shviyat. Rashi says it doesn't mean he's coming during the Shemitah year. It means the Shemitah year already passed. Otherwise, the debt's not released. Right. So it's after is Vachar Kathak Zero. Velok Shach Zero. The debt is released at the end of Shemitah. That means you're in Shul, Alel Rosh Hashanah. You say, I forgot to execute my Prozbol. that's the time. Get your friends together and say, I'm convinced it was the best day I have. You know, because that's the anyway. So he says here, Mas Republic of Shia, it's written back in the Gemara, Sarish Shemar Lo Bashanim. So if Shimon comes to Reuven, says, here's the $10,000 that I owe you, Reuven has to say to Shimon, Shavina, it's released. The Mamar Lo Aval Pichain, and if Shimon says, notwithstanding that, I still want to pay you, which is the Mitzvah thing to do, Yikabalim, then and under those circumstances, Reuven should accept the money. Shneimar v'zed dvar hashmita. Zed dvar hashmita. The word Chazal said dvar, it's like a dibur, that there's the words to be said with shmita. So these are the words. Amar Rabba, v'talile ada amar hachi. So here is my focus. We've shown him what these words mean. V'talile ada amar hachi. If we get time, we'll go through more. But the way Rashi takes it, that Malva can force the Lova to say that the Afal Pichay, in other words, he's got to hear the words Afal Pichay, can force him to do it. Others say, means Vitali Lay, he'll look at him, he'll like stare at him, you know, longingly till he says it. But we'll see how the Pshat if we have time. He says, Efe Abaye, so Abaye asks Akasha on Rabba, he says, Kshuno Tainlo. He says, the price says, when the debtor gives the lender the money, I shouldn't say this is in satisfaction of my debt. He says, because there's no debt. Yamarlo, Shalihe, he should say, it's my money. I'm giving to you as a gift. So it's a gift. How can he force him? That's the way we go in Rashi. Samarle, Tanle Nami Ada Amarhachi means, he forces him either until he says it's a matana, or he looks at him longingly until he says it's a matana. Abba Bar Marta, do Abba Bar Menumi, Abba Masi Be Rabba Zuze. So Abba Bar Menumi, or Abba Bar Marta, owed money to Rabba. Rabba is the lender. He says, Aitin Nehele B'Shviyat. So the debtor, Abba Bar Menumi, he brought it to Rabba after the Shemitah year. Amr Le Mishamedani. He says, I release it. So Shaklin of Azal. So the debtor grabbed the money and left. I'll see you around. Toodles. He says, exactly right. Ata Abaye, Ashkot Abba Atzid. So Abaye, who was Rabbi's nephew, he was his Rebbe. The Rabbi was Abaye's Rebbe. So he comes, he's Rabbi, looks miserable. He says, Amar Le Amaya, see, why are you so miserable? Amar Le, Hachi Avamasa. Tells him everything that happened. $10,000, this, that, the other. He came to me. So Azal Gabe. So Abaye went to the debtor, to Abba Bar Marta, or Abba Bar Menumi, or that's the same Abba Bar Menumi. He said, Azal Gabe, Amarle, Atale Zuze Gamar. Did you bring money to my uncle Rabba? Amarle, yeah, he said, I did. Amarle, my Amarle, what did he say to you? He says, Amarle, Shamina. He says, it's interesting. He already heard from his uncle everything that was taking place, but he still asks exactly what took place, which is interesting, like to verify that everybody's on the same fact pattern. He says, did you say, notwithstanding that, I'm going to give you the money? So Amarle, lo. He says, no, I didn't say that. He says, if you would have said that, he would have taken the money from him. So he says, Hashtamiyad Amtina Nahele, Ba'emalai, Afal Piche. So why don't you go now and have, like, we'll redo this, bring him the money and say, Afal Piche. Asal Amtina Nahele. So he went back, he brought the money, Ma'amalai Afal Piche. He says, notwithstanding that you release it, I want to give it to you. Shaklina Minay, Rabbi took the money from him. Amar, Mahavami Dayanta, by Surya Rabbanan Nikara. So Rabbi said this, in other words, Abba Bar Menumi was a Tamil Chacham. He said he didn't have Seichel initially. In other words, that's what he should have said initially. He didn't say it. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? All right, let me do a few lines from this. All right, you know, let me finish the Mishnah and then go further. It says, Amar Avinu Marav, Amar Avinu Marav Nachman, If a Malvin comes to court, he's Nema, and he says, I had a Prisbal, but I lost the document. We believe him. He says, my time came to King Rabban Prisbal, or Shabbat Kater Rachim Surah. In other words, there's two routes that a Malvin can do, the Easter route or the Hector route. So we figured that if a person could do it with not too much difficulty, the Hector route, then Mustafa, he would have done that. So we believe him. When Malvin would come with Rav, he would say to them, in other words, they would come without the principal document. We say, did you have the principal and lose it? It's like opening like the mouth of the mute person. It was like, we're going to make a taina on behalf of the litigant. So we learned the Mishnah of Masech Ketubot. It's a question. The Mishnah says, if you have a creditor that produces the shtar chov, the IOU note, without the prosbol, the debt should not be paid back. So we figure that it's talking about a situation that they're saying that I had a prosbol, lost it. Because if I didn't have a prosbol, I should. So here we have a Mishnah that seems to be on all fours against what Rav Nachman said, against what Rav Nachman said, right? What Rav Nachman said. So the Gemara says tonight, it's really a machloket tonight. The Tanya, the Shtarchov, Sreshim, or Prisbol, the person who produces the Shtarchov, he absolutely has to produce a Prisbol. Chachamim Rino Tzarek, let me say he doesn't have to. It means under these circumstances, he says, the name of the Maravad. So it's machlok tanaim. So Rav Nachman was passing like the chachamim, and the early mishnah was going like the Tanakhama. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts?
Yeah. Why would the court not have the document?
All right. Let's all focus. All right. One person at a time. I don't need the logo to sign the principal. Just a mile, but I need the best to sign the principal. Okay. That we did it. So the medicine maybe doesn't keep a copy. The medicine typically doesn't keep a copy of documents. So
just a list or a list is all you need.
Well, here they're talking about they didn't do it. Or, you know, that's the situation. That's one of the answers that Rabbi Leibowitz said is that Hillel made this takana and wanted people to remember. In other words, if I say you don't need a principal, the debts are not released. And people don't remember Shemitah. In other words, the way differently was. The Gemara says in Mako, if I loan you the money, I'll say, I'm lending you this money on condition that the debt is not released in Shemitah, that's effective. So Rabbi Leibowitz said, why did Hillel make a principle? Everybody should just make the time. So he says that if everybody do that, everybody would forget about Shemitah. This way, everybody remembers is a day Shemitah Ksafim, but I have to do a prisma. Okay, now, all right, now let me just do a little piece and then we'll move on.
Today.
There's Shemitah Karka, Shemitah Ksafim. Yeah, so we could say it's the same way. Shemitah Ksafim is only one level, same as the Shemitah Ksafim. Okay, now, all right, we'll do this. So we said before that if the lova comes, Malva has to say Mishnah, and then the lova needs to say Afal Pichem. And the Gemara learns Shvi'ah says that the ruach Chachamim is Melchah. And if a person says Afal Pichem, I want to pay it, so the Chachamim get nachas from him. He's acting properly. You're right. So you got a windfall, but the correct way is to be a bench. Pay back the money that you borrowed, and not to rely on what the Talmud gives you this way. So he says, though, so let's say the person says Bashaminani, and the other person doesn't say Afal Pichem. So the Lord says, Vitali Layad Amar Hachi. So what does vitality do? So Rashi explains that Rabbah permits the creditor to physically force the debtor to respond off a plea claim, which enables him to collect his money. Rashi asks, what is the meaning of Shemitah and Kiyas Leishim? The creditor permits to force the debtor to pay. Piskei Red explains that the law of Shemitah forbids the creditor from collecting his debts from a debtor who never offered to pay. However, the debtor approaches his creditor on his own volition. It indicates his willingness to pay as a gift. The creditor is permitted to force it to follow through. So, in other words, within this shot, how can I force him that he's released? So he's saying, if the debtor comes and says he wants your money, and I say, Mishami Nani, but at that point, he volunteered to pay the money, so then at that point, I can force him to follow through. He explains that the creditor tells the Mishami Nani, fulfills the mitzvah of loan cancellation, and then afterwards, he forces the debtor to respond, I'm for peace and pay. The Ritva finds difficult to advise his approach, asking, what is the point of refusing the debtor's payment? Telling him to Shemin Ani, subsequently forced him to pay anyway. But Father Rush interpreted the Talalay Adam Rahi as meaning the creditor, after refusing payment, saying Shemin Ani, is permitted to stare imploringly at the debtor. Like Talalay means like to hang him. So Talalay can mean to hang a debtor, like to force him, like tell you of his Amin, like force somebody, somebody sells me something. Talalay can mean like to lift my eyes, you know, to put my lid. So he says, So the Father Rush say, I look at him like longingly. He says, front to him, but even though he said the loan is canceled, he would appreciate his debtor would offer to pay again as a gift. Rabbi teaches that such favors permitted, but it's not the same as openly demanding paying loan. The Ruch HaShulchan asserts that if the debtor does not get the hint, goes home thinking that the creditor doesn't want the money, the creditor is permitted to have a friend explain to the debtor he's willing to make payment, the only debtor would know. To say I'll be in response to the creditor's statement of Mishkunani. In other words, Rav Chaim says, just like Abaye acted on behalf of Rabbah and went to Abba Bar Marta, so too, the creditor can get somebody to go to the debtor and say, you know, if you would say I'll be kind of good for it. The Rabbah has a completely different approach, explaining Talalay refers to the money rather than the debtor. So hanging the money, Rabbah does not keep stringing up the debtor and reports to pay, as Rashi says. On the contrary, he's saying that even after the debtor properly responds to paying and offers the money as a gift, creditor should delay accepting the payment. This is a different shot. He's saying that the debtor says afal pichein, and even with that, they shouldn't like grab the money right away. Rather, he should leave the money dangling, so to speak, demonstrating he's earnestly is willing to forego the debt, and he should give the debtor an opportunity to retract. They shouldn't say like, let's see your only money. Say afal pichein. like leave it around for a minute. Okay, if it's hot, like leaving it in abeyance, the money's in abeyance. Okay, now last Mishnah and last piece of Gemara, and then we're on our way. Well, if you do Prosbul, you never have to worry about this. Okay, let's see that. Let's all focus. I need everybody. So we only have limited time. 8 lines above where it gets wide. Please, Rafi, please. Okay. 8 lines above where it gets wide. Now, we're going to read this Mishnah. We don't understand this Mishnah. The Gemara is going to go through different instances. But Ethan, Evet Shnishma, say, you know, people would be captors and hold people for a ransom. Let's say, Evet Kanami was taken captive, and then somebody else redeemed him. In the Shum Evet Yishtabe, if he was redeemed with intent, he should be an Evet. So he should be enslaved. We don't know to whom. When the Shulman foreign loan to Abe, if he's redeemed to be a free man, then he should be enslaved. When the Shulman loyal there, Benkach Ishtabe. And then it says, either way, he should be enslaved. So the Gemara says, Mamaya Skinan. So what are we talking about? Elaim Alephay Yayosh. Now, let's say Reuven is the original slaveholder, and Shimon is the one who provides the pigeon for him. And the slave will call Ivan. Okay? So, if we say that Reuven never made Yeush, Ivan is an Eved Kanani. So, if Reuven never made Yeush, why would the Mishnah say that if he redeemed him to be a Ben Korin, and he's not enslaved anymore, he's the other person's property? So then, it must be it's after Reuven makes Yeush. In other words, Ivan is taken captive, and Reuven says, I'll never see him again. Violently, he saw him kiss. So the Shum Eved among Yishtabe. So then why, if Shimon redeems him to be an Eved, why is he enslaved? In other words, he was already released. In other words, if the first master is mafkir him, so I can't buy somebody. In other words, so Amar Abaye, you don't live in Yeyosh. So Abaye says the Pshat Mishnah is it's before Yeyosh. He says, so if Shimon redeems him for purpose of Abdud, then Ivan will work for his original master. In other words, Ivan was taken captive. Then Shimon redeems him to be an Abed. And Reuven never made Yeish. So go back to with Reuven. Lashon ben Chorin, but if he redeems him as a free man, then he's not slave to anybody. Certainly not the second, not for Shimon, because he redeemed him as a free man. Why not the first master? Because so it's different pshat on this, but the pshat of the one pshat is that people think the mitzvah pinyon shvuyim is only by a free person. Not by a slave. So if he's going free, I have incentive to redeem him. If he's not going free, I feel like I'm not doing a mitzvah. Now, you don't want Eved Kenani to be enslaved by non-Jew, because he's chayav a mitzvah. He's got to observe Shabbos, Kashrut, and other dinim. So we don't want to be in that situation. So we want to incentivize people to redeem them. So if a person redeems him as a ben chorin, and even though the original master never made Yeish, but it means he's thinking, if he's a free man, then I feel like I did a mitzvah. So then I'll do it, otherwise not. So it's like Hefker, Beit Din Hefker. In other words, the Bezin is making a policy consideration and saying that if he redeems him, Shem ben Chorin, he's going to go for it. But Shem ben Gamliel there, Gamliel says, either way, he's going to be Meshuba, he'll be enslaved. This is before Yeish. Kesavar, holds the mitzvah opinion shvuyim is even for slaves. Do people know that? And he doesn't take it, that they need him to be incentivized. So if it's before Yeish, they'll be enslaved to the first master. Now, on line 3, Rava Amar, we know Lamachar Yeish. Rava says, no, Shad Mishnah is that the events taking place after Reuven made Yeish. So if Shimon redeems him to be an Eved, he'll be Meshuva to Shimon. And the Gemara is going to ask, who gave him title? But we'll get to it. Okay. But if he redeemed him as a free man, he shouldn't be enslaved to the second master, Shimon, because he redeemed him as a free man. Now, point to Rava, that's talking after Yeish. Rishon says, when Shimon redeems him, whether he redeems him to be a free man or a slave, he should be a shuba to the first master. Why? This is why, either way, we don't want to incentivize Avadim running off to marauding bands. Say, take me as a captive. I found my route to freedom. My route to freedom is I get taken as a captive, then my master makes Yeish on me, and then they'll redeem me, and then I'll go free. So even if that takes place, and even if the person redeems him as a Ben Chorin, we're saying he's still a slave. That's the way Rabbi Shmuel is going to Chizkiya. Okay. Well, it's, yeah. So me,
after you.
All right, I'll hold the question. I don't have the answer right now. Hold the question. Okay, and then this is really one. So now, Nelly Roy has questions on Rava. What's that? This week, I'm losing the place here. Yeah, okay, Mayfay. Okay, we're still on the bottom. Mayfay, we're asking Kasha now against Rava's shot. Again, Rava says the Mishnah is talking about after Yesh, and then according to the Chachamim. So if he redeems him, Shum Ben Korin, then he goes free. If he's the Shum Eved, if he redeems him, the Shum Eved, will be Meshubat, the second slave master will have title to him. So Mayfay, Amar the Rosh Hashanah, in the Brisa, the Brisa elaborates on what Rosh Hashanah said to the Chachamim. Shmuel says, just like I don't agree with you. It's just like there's a mitzvah to redeem a free person. There's a mitzvah to redeem a slave. So b'shlim l'abaye, the one who is and the kamar shake. So according to Abaye, it makes sense. That's exactly what Abaye said. The conversation took place. So we're talking about according to Abaye, and then somebody comes and redeems him. Shmuel says, whether you redeem him as a free man or redeem him as a slave, he's going to be a slave. Because, now, in other words, I'm not going to say the Chachamim that if he's by redeeming him as a free man, so people won't redeem people anymore. Because they think there's only a myth for redeeming free people. So I don't agree with that. I think there's a myth for redeeming slaves and free people. And people know that, and it's not going to impact on anything. So according to Abaye, the statement of the Bryce works out well. El Rava, the Amar Lach Yeish. According to Rava, Rava says that Mishnah is going after Yeish. And then the Chachamim are saying that whether he redeems him as a free man or he redeems him as a slave, he says, come to say, if he redeems him as a slave, he'll be enslaved. If he's a free man, he will not be enslaved. So it's after Yesh. So why is he enslaved? So he's enslaved because we're afraid that I don't want to incentivize Avadim to go run off and then, you know, surrender to these captors and then the free. He says, I shame Yehu. So Rabbi Elishma, he shouldn't be saying shame, just like there's a mitzvah to free person, there's a mitzvah to free slave. He should say that the reason I disagree with you, and he's a slave because of Chizki, I'm afraid of incentivizing people surrendering to us. So I'm not like Rabbi would say to you, Rabbi Shemuel was not certain what the sheet of the Chachamim was. In other words, the same question we have at Shat Mishnah, come to say, if he's redeemed, this is what Shmuel was saying to Chachamim. If you are saying your position before the master made the age, that is shame. So that's what I say. I say shame. I say either way, you should be enslaved because even if he was redeemed the shame and before him, he says, I think people, there is a mitzvah to redeem even a slave, and people know that. And if, on the other hand, you coming or really making your statement after Yesh, so then the question is, so the original owner gave up ownership, so why am I restoring to the original owner? So because we don't want people to incentivize slaves running away and turning themselves towards to the Chizkiah. In other words, he's saying both ways. In other words, he's touching that in which, now, Rabbi says it's after Yesh, and Rabbi says it's poured to him. Maybe I didn't explain right so well. Yeah, Rabbi is saying it's after Yesh, and if he's poured to him, shame Eved, he'll be enslaved to the second fellow, right? So he'll be enslaved to the second person. He says, So Rabbi Shimon Ben Kani Lai. Where the, in other words, the original owner Reuven made Yesh by getting the Eved Kanan back, and then he's taken captive by Ivan is taken captive by non-Jews, and then Shimon comes along. He's a nice guy, and he's Poda Ivan after Reuven makes Yesh, but as an Eved. So it's coming out that according to the way Rabbi learns the Chachamim, there'll be Mishuba to Shimon. So we might cut. How did Shimon get title? I can't. In other words, Ivan was a free man. How did the title get over to Shimon? So Mishabai, where did he get it? He got it from the captor. So Shabai Gutin, does the captor acquire rights in this economy? In he says the captor acquired rights in this Eved Lamasiyadav. Means that if Israel has an Eved Kanani, we've spoken about this, he's got a kin in Easter and a kin in Mabel, right? He owns the goof and he also has the right to his work. So that's right. So the Eved, the non Jew, only has a right to Masiyadav. So he says, the Amalish Takish. How do I know that a non-Jew acquires another non-Jew from Masti Adam, that which he produces? So the words Mehem Tiknu are extra. It's in the previous pasuk, it says Mehem Tiknu. That you, the Jews, you can buy from the non-Jews. They can't buy from you. They can't buy from one another. Yechol lo yiknu zeh. I might think they can't buy one another. So the Gemara says, stop. I don't understand. You just said they can't buy one another. Now you would say, I would have thought they can't buy one another. It says, means one mountain. Can't acquire another non-Jew from a non-Jew. I can't own his body. I can't own his goof. He says, I might think that they can't acquire the Masi Adayim. I'm in Kavachomer. So, well, during Kavachomer, they could. Well, they could have him in Israel. A non-Jew can acquire a Jewish slave from Masi Adayim. Well, they could have him. Well, they could have him. So, certainly a goy can acquire. So, it means that when the original owner, Reuven, made Yeish on Ivan, the non-Jew acquired rights in him from Asi Adam. And those rights, they sold to Shimon. They sold to Shimon. Okay, so that's the way this is going. Okay, I think...